Matthew chapter 17, I'm reading verse number 8. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Let me read it again. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. I have been meditating upon verses where people lifted up their eyes. There are some 25 of them. I have preached on Jesus lifting up his eyes and praying at Lazarus' tomb. And then I preached on that wonderful high priestly prayer of John 17. And verse 1 says he lifted up his eyes to the Father. This morning I'd like to use the disciples lifting up their eyes. And I would preach on this thought, the disciples lifting up their eyes and seeing Jesus only. I'll say more about the term only in a moment. When I was 11 years of age, my appendix ruptured. I had been in pain for a couple of days, and my parents took me on to the hospital, and immediately after they had checked me out, I was put on an elevator and taken up to the surgical department. When I was going up in that elevator, I felt like I was dying. And I said to my mother, as my body was tingling all over, what it was is the poison was being released. And I said to my mother, I feel like I'm going to die. She said, no, we've given you to the Lord. And we're going to trust him with this. After the surgery, which was the beginning of several surgeries because they couldn't get all that poison out of my body, peritonitis set in. But after that first surgery, when I awoke, my mother was standing by me at the bed, recovery room. She was the first one I saw and the only one I saw. When the disciples had come through the maze, so to speak, they saw Jesus only. Now, the phrase, they saw no man, as defined by James Strong and Strong's Concordance, indicates not even one, none, nobody, nothing. That's how he has it. Now Mark says they looked around and saw no one save Jesus only. At any rate, they are not hanging on to a creed or to some spectacular experience, but they're looking to Jesus only. W.J. Knox Little, an old writer, said, we're to see Jesus only with all that he has said and done. He is everything to us. One of my favorite writers, James Vaughan, an old writer, spoke of all the inclusiveness, the all-inclusiveness of Jesus. He said, Jesus is everything. Then Frederick Whitfield, whose books are hard to find but are jewels, he said, when we go to the world for fulfillment, it tells how little the attractiveness of Jesus is perceived by us. So I would like to use this emphasis on seeing Jesus only. If we're not careful, we'll get sidetracked and then wonder why we're discouraged and defeated. The writer of the book of Hebrews wrote, looking unto Jesus. The word there, unto, indicates away from everything else, unto Jesus. He's the key. He's the center. Now, this is one of the great events in the life of Christ. The transfiguration of Jesus. His inner man is exposed on his outer frame. His deity is set forth in his humanity. His godhood is set forth on his manhood. Of course, you remember in the transfiguration, not only did his face shine as the sun, verse 2 tells us, and his raiment white as the light, but Moses and Elijah came zooming in. Wouldn't that have been quite an experience? And that's what got Simon Peter stumbling around in his speech. So I'm not really going to isolate the event of the transfiguration. I'd like to point out how the disciples could see Jesus only. And what's involved in you and me seeing Jesus only, getting our eyes off of everything else. Three little thoughts. Seeing Jesus only involves seeing beyond our impressions or the sensational, the unusual. Moses and Elijah and so on. Seeing Jesus only not only involves, number one, seeing beyond our impressions, but seeing beyond our ideas. Simon Peter had this idea that he should build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and then finally he mentioned Jesus. He was very excited about Moses and Elijah showing up. Thirdly, in seeing Jesus only, we not only must see beyond our impressions, and it involves seeing beyond our ideas. But lastly, when the disciples heard the voice from heaven, they fell on their face in fear. It involves seeing beyond our inadequacies. And Jesus touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." Then they lifted up their eyes and saw Jesus only. Now, let's go back and underline these three thoughts, these three headings. First of all, as taught here in these verses, seeing Jesus only involves seeing beyond our impressions or what amazes us, astonishes us. Now, it seems that they were confronted with special impressions. This was not just a passing little thing that happened. I mean, they saw the glory of God in the face of Christ. They saw his raiment transformed to being white as light. As well, they saw Moses, representative of the law, and Elijah, representative of the prophets. This was all real. So there were special impressions, to say the least. Definite ones, real ones, but I might say temporary. They were transient. In fact, I would underline what one has said. Again, could quote James Vaughan, at the transfiguration, all the rest was circumstance except Jesus. In other words, everything would come and go, but Jesus remained the same. As one wrote, the law and the prophets had only a temporary glory. Then they're gone. And Christ and Christ alone is exalted in the city. So I underline that seeing beyond our impressions involves seeing beyond special impressions, real impressions. For instance, this happened to me when I was a young preacher. I heard a dear man of God preach, and I was very impressed with his preaching. Of course, young preachers are often impressionable. But he used little 3x5 cards for his notes. And he would pick up a 3x5 card and lay it down after he preached that. He'd pick up another one and preach that little point. Pick up another. He must have had a stack of 20, 25 cards. I thought, man, that's good. I'm going to try that. I picked up one card, and because I perspire a lot, several others stuck to my hand. I pulled the whole bunch down in the floor. I never did get back to where I was. Impressionable. If we're not careful, we'll get caught up with things we see, people we see, and experiences that we see, and we'll not see Jesus only. Not only did they see beyond their impressions, which were special impressions, but I might add, they were sensational impressions. This was unusual. Could we use the word strange, unique, out of the ordinary? The glory of God is set forth fully in Christ. And then the Lion and the Prophets representatives come in. And then a voice from heaven is heard. I'm telling you, their impressions were special impressions. They were real, they were definite. But they were sensational impressions. It's possible to get caught up with the sensational. You know, I think about Paul's day. He talked about himself. He talked about Apollos. He talked about Cephas. But he said, we just sow in another waters and God gives the increase. But we're the same way. If we'd lived in that day, I would have probably said, boy, I love to hear the Apostle Paul. Now, he's the preacher. He gets into the deeper things of God. And then someone would say, well, Paul's a great speaker, a great preacher, but Apollos is a silver-tongued orator. Brother, he doesn't get up and say, as I was saying a while ago, he just says it and says it smoothly. And then another maybe would say, I tell you, my favorite preacher is Simon Peter, Cephas. Man, he's got the fire. He's got the fire when he preaches. I'm saying if we're not careful, we'll look for sensational attributes. And we'll not see Jesus only. We'll get caught up with Moses. I didn't really think he'd look like that. Or we get caught up with Elijah. Did you see the fire in his eyes? Or was that thunder? Or was that really the voice of God? And we're caught up with our impressions, how we respond. Seeing Jesus only, not involved, seeing beyond our impressions. Now here's a real issue for us. Seeing Jesus, secondly, involves seeing beyond our ideas. Good night. People realize how right I am all the time. Of course, if I realize how right you are all the time. I have decided this, though, traveling from week to week and now driving myself most of the time. I have come to grips with it. I'm the only person out there that knows how to drive. Of course, you feel that way too, don't you? But I have some ideas. I have some thoughts. I have some concepts in my mind. Simon Peter, when he saw all of this, the glory of God, Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus, he just right out of nowhere, he said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Verse 4. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles. It seems that he had the wrong perceptions concerning the transfiguration. He thought the kingdom had come. You know, the Old Testament feast that illustrated the future millennial kingdom was the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. And Simon Peter thought, we're in the kingdom age. Moses and Elijah are here. But that was the wrong perception. Of course, the disciples had thought Jesus had come to set up his kingdom and deliver them from Roman oppression. But in his first appearance, that was not his purpose. His purpose was to die for sinners, for sin, for you, for me. And so we get the wrong perception sometimes. I have a dear friend. When I first met him, I had him figured out to be rather haughty. Well, I know my humble upbringing, and so I run from haughty. I'm not interested in how wonderful and how glorious their kingdom is. And that was my first impression. That was my perception of him. But after meeting a second time, a third time, fourth time, fifth, I saw that was just a facade. He presented himself that way. I think he was intimidated maybe in former years that he tried to make up for it with some kind of grand entrance, grand stance. And I wasn't impressed. Of course, we all can get that way at times. Wrong perceptions about the kingdom. We could preach there for a good while, but I don't feel the congregation pulling me to preach all day. Not only did Simon Peter have wrong perceptions in his ideas, he wanted to do something. Let me just dwell there a minute. Often, when God shows his glory or works in our midst, there's always one of us that wants to do something. When it's time to worship God, I'd like to give a testimony of what the Lord's been doing using me. He has really used me the last few weeks. I want to thank him for all he's doing through me. I tell you, I never dreamed that he'd use somebody like me. And we're going to brag on ourselves. When it's time to brag on him, we feel like we have to do something. We have to say something. Simon Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build. Let's build 3 tabernacles. I get in so many places and hear so many stories, I shouldn't say much. But I was in a meeting where a man got up to take up an offering and to help the church build another building. The pastor just sat there with his arms crossed. Well, they took up a pretty good offering. But the pastor said later, God hasn't led us to build another building. Here's this dude coming in taking over. Why would I want to come in and take over when you already have an overseer? I should come in to get under and support and encourage him and the work of the Lord here. I'm saying we can get wrong perceptions. And then to see beyond our ideas is not only to see beyond our wrong perceptions, but to see beyond our wrong persuasions. Let's build something. Let's do something. I tell you, these folks just sitting around weeping and worshiping God, let's do something for the Lord. Well, there's a time to do something, but if he manifests his glory, that's time to worship and to adore him and to glorify him. And I might add, I don't get in a lot of services where his glory is being manifested. So if I get in one, leave me alone. That's right. Sort of like Uncle Buddy Robinson, that tongue-tied Nazarene preacher that God greatly used. He had been encouraging folks, let's pray for revival when we have our big convention this year. Let's pray that God will minister, that God will move. Well, the convention came around, and these folks sang, and while they were singing, the glory of God seemed to fall upon the meeting. People were shouting and crying and praising God. This is that revival, Uncle Buddy. Where's Uncle Buddy? They found him finally in the back of the auditorium, up and underneath that back pew. And some dodo said to him, Uncle Buddy, come on, you need to get up. Look at this revival you've been praying for. Hey, look, get up and shout. And Uncle Buddy said, pushed him away, said, my God, man, I'm 1,000 miles above a shout. He was worshiping God. Do something. No. Be still and know that I am God. Before we conclude this morning, I'd like to mention that seeing Jesus only not only involves seeing beyond our impressions, real impressions, but sensational to say the least. Do you realize that many people leave a church where the word is preached? They're attracted to some other church that has something sensational going on. So they take off. And then they try to get others to come with them. It's sensational. You won't believe how they were. You won't believe how. Why can't you just be satisfied with the word and being told of the glory of Christ? Just thought I'd throw that in a little bit there. That won't affect my love offering, will it? You know I'm cutting up. Thirdly, seeing Jesus only is not only seeing beyond our impressions and seeing beyond our ideas, but it's seeing beyond our inadequacies. Oh, how the enemy loves to rub our nose in the dirt. The Bible tells us that God spoke from heaven. This is verse 5. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. In other words, quit listening for Moses and Elijah's words when you have the full revelation of myself, the living word here on the mountain with you. Verse 6, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. First of all, we have the feeling of inadequacy that we must look beyond. They heard it and they fell on their face. They heard the voice of God on this mountain. May I say there are times when God speaks in such a way that we feel intimidated. Why? What am I doing in the kingdom of God anyhow? I'm a misfit. Why am I trying to serve the Lord? I don't have gifts and abilities, enablements like some of those others. And we find ourselves on our face feeling inadequate, and we are inadequate. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. But sometimes it becomes a negative feeling. I'm just going to quit my class. They need somebody in there that knows more about the Bible. No, they need somebody in there that's seeking after God while they teach the Bible. Well, we have some funny ideas, don't we? You know, if our treasurer ever resigns, Sister so-and-so works over yonder at such and such a bank. That's the one we need as our next treasure. Well, even I can count money. Do you have to have a bank behind you to become a church treasure? No, you need somebody who loves God and will honor the church and the pastor and what God has in mind. The same in class. Oh, you know, he teaches over at the school. I tell you, he would be a good young people's teacher for that class. He would fit in great if that ever comes available. Like you got to teach school to teach a class? No, we need somebody that's seeking after God and loves the Bible more than they do the local paper or TV guide or whatever. We need somebody who has a heart for God. Here, let me give you just a brief scenario. Somebody might say, I don't know why they passed over me as a deacon. They know I was a deacon in that other church. I'm qualified. That's the reason they passed over you. Because you felt so adequate. Somebody will say, I don't know why they didn't put me in that class. They know I taught X amount of years at that other church. They put so-and-so in it. Can you believe that? That's the reason they didn't put you. When they talked to several people, they came to this one who said, I tell you folks, I don't know if I can teach or not. We feel like God, well, if you want me, I'll try. But if I fail, I'm just going to up and resign. I don't think I can do it like other. That's why they put him in there, because he didn't feel so self-capable. God have mercy. You ever hear this? Boy, I know God's going to call that little boy to preach. He quoted all those verses in Vacation Bible School. Yeah, and he may be the dweller of cell number 12 before he gets to be 20. Lord have mercy. To get beyond our inadequacies and see Christ only, we must get beyond the feeling of inadequacy. They fell on their faces. Then I must mention the fears that come with inadequacy. Notice they were sore, sore afraid. The idea is that they were overwhelmed with fear. May I confess, there have been times when fear seemed like a giant come stomping down my hall in the middle of the night. And I feared that I'd not make it through that dark hour. I feared that I would become a failure. I feared that God had others who were more worthy of preaching than myself. But somehow, here I am. Sorry. The fact is, God is able to take us beyond our fears. Hallelujah. A.T. Robertson said, it was after the reassuring touch of Jesus in his words of cheer that they were able to stand up. Matthew Poole said, he came and touched them to deliver them from their fears. Now I can tell you, oh come on, get out of that. Why are you so worried? Why are you so fearful? I can really show you, tell you how to. But you need more than that. I've been so low, I had to look up to see bottom. And a friend say to me, come on, Tom, snap out of it. You don't just snap out of it. God alone can help us. And I'm here because somehow he was pleased to draw nigh and touch me and say, arise, be not afraid. Do you think anybody should be afraid to walk on water because Simon Peter sank? Well, you just don't know me, Brother Tom. I've never been a success. I've really had a hard time. I wish y'all would pray for me. I'm really going through it. I need Listen, if God is God and you're His child, He'll help you through the darkest hour. And they were delivered from fears. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. I come down here to try to encourage y'all, and I'm getting help. Hallelujah. Oh, there were four of us preachers, who were going to fly to London and rent a vehicle, go around to the old bookshops and the churches and cemeteries, just fill ourselves up with church history and with new old books that we didn't have on our shelves. Well, due to some complications that we did not plan on, my friend David and I, who were coming a little later than our other two friends, we missed our flight. I was already feeling bad enough, and the woman at the desk just fussed me out. You shouldn't have been late. We've already put two people on in place of you. I said, ma'am, I got here as quickly as I could. Thank you. Tell me when the next flight out is. And so we got the next flight. I worried a little bit because I did not have the hotel reservation in my pocket. I did not have the rental car verification. Here I am leaving Atlanta and headed to London when my friends have all that info, one of them. So to say the least, I had a little fear when we got off in London 4 hours later, trying to figure out what to do. We were talking, and David and I decided, we'll just look for those only. We're going to look for our friends. And we did. And they had some old dumb sign holding it up. We're waiting for our late friends. But we were looking for them only. Oh, may somehow the Spirit of God help us to get beyond our impressions, our ideas, and our inadequacies and see Jesus only. Hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have. Would you stand with me, please? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Our Father, we confess that we have a lot of crazy ideas that aren't a part of your purpose and plan. Forgive us, Lord, for getting caught up with other things besides Jesus. We have impressions sometimes that we misread, we're misguided by our thoughts about things. And Lord, there are times when we feel so inadequate. I pray that Thou wouldst touch us afresh. Say a word to our hearts again. May You be glorified in us somehow. Somehow, Lord, work through us. Now may You be honored through these feeble channels this morning. We pray for that one in our midst who is unsaved, that Thou wouldst draw that individual with bands of love. Give them a desire, Lord, to know You and to be saved. And then for those of us who know You and we're stumbling over our own little world, I pray that Thou wouldst help us to see beyond and see Jesus only. For these favors we ask in His name, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Our brother's leading us in a song.